The views expressed on the Buckmaster Radio program are not necessarily the views of Bill Buckmaster Communications, LLC, or its sponsors.
Everybody, Bill Buckmaster along with Ray Allen. Ray's engineering and producing the program, and together we welcome you to the program today, our midweek edition. I guess we could say howdy, partners, kind of in a Tucson greeting. And that's pretty corny, isn't it, Ray? Yeah, it's all right. It is the 26th of September, 2018. Hope the midweek is going pretty good for you. We're on AM 1030 KVOI with our worldwide live streaming at buckmastershow.com and kvoi.com. All of our programs, we do the podcast thing. Building up quite an archive here as we approach our eight-year anniversary, which will be coming up in January. So we've got a ton of shows available for you at buckmastershow.com. Our live line number, 790-2040, anytime during the program, during the hour. If you want to give us a call, fine, love to hear from you. Ward 2, Tucson City Councilman Paul Cunningham is with us. We try to check in with the councilman at least once a month. He is very busy, of course. Not only does he have his councilman responsibilities, but he is a middle school social studies teacher. So this is his noon hour. I do appreciate, Paul, you taking a break. Thank you very much.
Thanks for having me.
Phase 2 of the Grant Road project is now complete, as we just heard Ed Alexander give that news headline during the top of the hour break. Actually, the whole thing wraps up at 3 o'clock this afternoon. What is Phase 3 going to be about, and when's that start?
Phase 3 goes a little farther east on Grant. It gets all the way to past Alvernon, and I'm not following the design phase of that project as closely, because it's actually out of Ward 2, but from what I understand, it's still going to be in the, it won't be one of the casualties projects of some of the Phase 4 projects that may not get finished at the expiration of the RTA.
But generally, do you like what you've seen with the first couple of phases with Grant Road? Is it looking pretty good to you?
Anything brand new looks pretty good. I mean, usually. And just remember the state of where the roads were 6 years ago, 7 years ago. The one real, the conundrum on this deal is that we resurfaced Grant Road with whatever road maintenance and HERC monies we had about 6 or 7 years ago, and now we're going to tear it up for redesign. So that's one of those things you run into from time to time, but at least the road was of good quality for the past 5 years, and I'm appreciative of that.
We have several developments I want to talk to you about. The first one is the Hotel Del Sol development. This is a proposal to kind of redevelop the former 111-room Motel 6 on South Freeway. Do you like this project from what you've seen of it?
So far, yes. This is exactly what the G-Plus 4. This is set up so that you take a depressed, underutilized, and underused property, get it to its get it rehabilitated, and get it to operating in a max capacity. So I like the proposal. That is an area that struggles. Those businesses were struggling, and I think that this is a really good opportunity for us. There's a couple things that, it catches you, but I think this is really a good proposal.
This is what they call a lifestyle boutique hotel designed to give customers a true local experience within walking distance of the downtown area. Do the numbers from what you've seen, this is a renovation of a pretty good size project. The numbers, do they add up for you? Some of the cost estimates are around $5.4 million.
Yeah. excuse me, I'm sorry, I lost you for a second there.
Okay.
On the Hotel del Sol project?
Yes.
Right. I mean, again, they'll be able to bank some of that GPUD. They get basically a tax if they're approved for the GPUD. All we did was approve the study to see if they qualify for the GPUD. We voted on that last night, and if that project goes through, and it is genuinely a GPUD project, then they get some property tax relief. But more than that will be invested back into the project, and that's construction jobs. That's expansion of jobs. That's an activated property. Usually there's some infrastructure costs that are rebuilt into that. Now, if they go for some of the other incentives, like primary jobs incentives or any of those others, I don't think they're going to be able to qualify for those. So that's kind of the gist of the situation at this point. But I'm pretty confident that this project is a genuinely good GPLET project.
And what was that acronym you're using? G what?
GPLET. GPLET.
Uh-huh.
GPLEP, which is government property lease excise tax. And so what happens is that it's a state statute, and every single city can set up a central business district in which different areas can receive something called a GPLET. And GPLET is when your property taxes, you receive basically what is a property tax holiday for that project of up to 7 years. And we've had several different GPLETs in downtown. Actually, we've had more in the last decade than we've ever had. And one of the crazy things is until the mayor joined the city council, we'd never used it.
Huh.
So Mesa, Scottsdale, Phoenix used it incessantly. And so we'd really never taken advantage of it. And I think the streetcar's been very helpful. A lot of the new infrastructure has been very helpful. Some of our other business district programs have been very helpful. But the bottom line is, Bill, the biggest thing that we've been able to do is with this GPLET, that's really helped in that revitalization of downtown. And it's a downtown now that the rest of the country is taking notice of.
Hmm. I had never even heard of that GPLET or whatever it is, but I'm glad at least we know about this. Is this thing sort of been under the radar screen, but you're saying it's been instrumental in the redevelopment of downtown?
Say again?
Oh, I just said we had not heard of this before. One thing, what about this project that's going to be 20-story tower that is going to be in the spot where the old Palm Shadows and the Babcock Apartments are currently located there at Speedway and Campbell? Are you getting any blowback about a 20-story tower there? Paul, are you there? Well, I think we might have lost the councilman. Why don't we take our break right here? Why don't we talk about Mona's Danish Bakery? I don't have an opportunity to ask Councilman Cunningham at this point whether he loves Mona's Danish Bakery, but something tells me he'll say the affirmative to that, because pretty much everybody we ask, do you like bakery goods? They always say, yes, of course. Mona's Danish Bakery is the home of the Danish Kringle. Mona's is located on the northeast corner of Swan and Sunrise. Go by right now if you're hungry. Who isn't at lunchtime, right? Grab a sandwich. The bread that sandwich will be served upon will be just out of the oven a couple of hours ago, so it's a great time to get a lunch and a sandwich, and how about a brownie for dessert? Mona's Danish Bakery, the northeast corner of Swan and Sunrise. Go to my website, buckmastershow.com. There you'll find a link to Mona's Danish Bakery and all of our great sponsors.
This
This is Bill Buckmaster. I'm passionate about travel, visiting over 100 countries in all 50 states. And when I'm ready to take off, I fly from Tucson International Airport. With 9 airlines flying nonstop to 22 destinations and easy one-stop connections, I can get virtually anywhere in the world. It's close by, convenient with competitive airfares, and there's no long drive coming back home after a long trip. Travel smart and fly Tucson. Check out flytucson.com. In case you haven't heard, a recent state performance audit says the Regional Transportation Authority is meeting performance and budget expectations on voter-approved RTA plan delivery. Now in its 12th year of plan implementation, the RTA is committed to delivering the remaining projects with the community's support to improve our regional transportation system. Working together for a better future, visit rtamobility.com. Vero Amore is Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza, where every flavorful pizza, pasta, panini, and salad is homemade using the finest local and imported ingredients. Vero Amore, Plaza Palomino and on Dove Mountain Boulevard in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events. Vero Amore on the web at veroamore.com.
Did you know that you can check out complete digital editions of popular magazines with your Pima County Public Library card? From Arizona Highways to Yoga Journal and everything in between, the library is your source for entertainment. Visit library.pima.gov and browse the e-library to start checking out your favorite magazines today. That's library.pima.gov.
Hi, it's Suzanne Miller from your Better Business Bureau serving Southern Arizona, here to remind you to start with trust and look for the BBB accredited seal when searching for a product or service. Did you know you can request a quote directly from any of our accredited businesses? With over 3,000 accredited businesses in Southern Arizona, you will find a business you can trust. Whether you need a product or service from one company or an entire industry, go to tucson.bbb.org and start your search today.
As a small business owner, I know the importance of a certified public accountant you can trust. That's why I recommend my CPA, Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates, proud sponsors of the Buckmaster Show. Located at 2919 East Broadway and on the web at flowersrieger.com or follow the live link on buckmastershow.com. This is Bill Buckmaster. Coming up Thursday during the noon hour, a visit with Dr. Gabriel Trujillo. Dr. Trujillo is the superintendent of the Tucson Unified School District. Also, we'll preview the Saba Home Show on Buckmaster, noon to 1 on Tucson's Voice, AM 1030 KVOI, worldwide live listening, buckmastershow.com. Coming up now on 1218 on the Buckmaster Show, this portion presented by Green Things, 3384 East River Road, by the Rito River just west of the Brandy Fenton Park. Green Things has now become a destination in itself, not just for all of your nursery and gardening needs, but Zocalo Village is going to be opening up. In fact, there's the grand opening event on the 13-acre Green Things site that's running now through November 15th. Open daily 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. There will be five shops. There are five shops at Zocalo Village, so check it all out and stop by for a complimentary, check out the complimentary wine bar, 3384 East River Road. Let's go back now to Tucson City Councilman Ward 2, Democrat Paul Cunningham. Paul, how are you doing? Are you the school monitor today in the lunchroom or what?
Well, I was the bell rang.
Oh,
and so the way I have it is that I have a class. The schedule changed from last year, Bill. So the 30 minutes we have, we actually only have about 14. So I was able to have another teacher cover my class for 15 minutes, but I had to move from the class into the hallway, and that's when the call dropped. So sorry about that.
Okay, so you sound good coming in loud and clear, and I do appreciate you taking the time. What is this I'm hearing about the Tucson city manager, Mike Ortega's contract? Is that up for renewal?
It's a two-year rolling contract. It's up for review every single year. We've, you know, so he is allowed to, you know, negotiate as it expires every 2 years, and then we kind of settle up and see if he's got a fair and equitable contract that's comparable to other city managers, and you know that's kind of how they do it.
Do you think he'll be renewed?
I hope so. I hope he stays. I think we've got one of the best managers in the state, and he's doing a good job. And you know, we've brought some stability into that government. We've brought some stick-to-itiveness into that government. We brought some task-oriented work, and he's the most responsive. I mean, the other managers have been great too. I don't want to belittle anyone, but Mike has been very effective, in my opinion, as a manager.
How many have you worked for?
Well, I haven't worked for any of them, but several have worked for us, the council.
Oh, that's right. Correctly put.
Yeah. We've had, you know, when I first came on, it was Mike Letcher. Mm-hmm. And then for a specific period of time, it was Mike Ortega. And then we had Richard Miranda. And then we had Martha Durkin and on an interim basis. And I want to say we had an interim in between Letcher and Miranda. So it's kind of worked that way. In each case since Mike Letcher, who, you know, when I first met Mike Letcher, I was a brand new councilman, so my perspective was a little different, but I thought he was a very responsive and nice guy. When we got Richard Miranda, we had the right manager at the right time. He was the right appropriate person we needed at that specific time and kind of who we needed to balance some things and fix some things, and especially going through that recession. And then we had Martha on an interim basis. And when we went to go find Mike Ortega, the big thing was there was only about three or four people I was looking at. There was a lady from Portland, I want to say. There was a guy from Austin, Texas I liked. There was a young man from Long Beach who actually grew up in Tucson and was a graduate of the Eller School and had actually moved on, and he was like the deputy city manager of all of Long Beach. And then there was Mike Ortega. I mean, those were the only four people I wanted to hire. Mm-hmm. And Mike Ortega was the only one who ended up applying. You know, we went out and there were other people who applied who were good candidates in their own right. It was nice to be a city in demand at the time, but Ortega, we knew he was, when we hired him, he was the only manager of the bunch, and he's shown it, and he's, you know, he does a good job for us.
All right. Let's go to the live line. Matthew has a good question about this new policy at the University of Arizona about consuming alcohol. Go ahead, Matthew.
Yeah, you know, it's very early on, Paul, but I'm sure that you have a very good read from the neighborhoods. Are they watching this issue as it develops with the new policy, and how do you think it's going, and how do you foresee it? Thank you. Bye.
Thank you, Matthew, whose family has a great lineage here in Tucson, and he's a good man, good friend. And the answer is, surprisingly, I haven't seen as large a response on the shift in alcohol policies I anticipated. The U of A has done a few things right in that they're trying to limit sales after the third quarter. I wish they'd actually cut it at 10 p.m. straight up. So if we ever play a late game, it just stops at 10 p.m. But those are some very nuanced things. Here's the deal. A few things that were going on for the past 10 years that were kind of like detente anyway. The tailgate was... there was a lot of alcohol being consumed at the tailgate every single year anyway. So we didn't really change that part of the game day atmosphere. The other piece was that we had people buying tickets to games, but we didn't have people going and staying at games and rooting on the home team. So this enhancement was done. The third thing was that other institutions around the country were coming back off that policy. It's an interesting dynamic. You can't tell me that there's not a public safety concern when you're letting 50,000 people out of a stadium at once, and they were able to consume up until an hour before the game ended. You can't tell me that with a straight face to say it's really no big deal. But for now, we haven't had a major incident. I think what will ultimately happen is that the big test is when ASU comes. I remember when alcohol used to be consumed in Arizona Stadium because they really wasn't a lot of security. So people would bring their alcohol in during the ASU U of A game, and you'd have fights and you'd have bickering and situations like that. Yeah. So I think that's going to be the bigger test. But I guess the bottom line answer, Matthew, is it's a little too early to tell.
What do you
think? We've only had two home games.
Speaking of sports, how about this Sugar Skulls.
The Sugar Skulls.
The new logo for the
indoor
football. You like it?
Yeah, it's a pretty it's a legit arena team. It gives us another 9 dates in the Convention Center arena. That gives us a 51-date anchor tenant for the arena. That means if we can bring in professional bull riding, we keep the ice show. We keep the two ice shows, the professional bull riding, monster trucks, and wrestling. If we get a rough, because we updated some of our tech, so we should get wrestling back. And if we get those dates, along with a few concerts, that arena will be performing from a financial standpoint to where it was in its heyday in the late 70s, early 80s.
Wow.
When some of the biggest tours would kick off here, if you remember. The Foreign kicked off his tour here in the 80s. U2 came through here in the 80s. Bob Dylan came through here in the 80s. So that there was a heyday for that convention center. And for an indoor arena, its acoustics are actually pretty good. So I'm really optimistic about this. This fills us another 9 gates. It gives us kind of a junior anchor tenant with obviously the Roadrunners and U of A hockey. And, we're going to keep making investments into that place because it's working. And
yeah.
I'm really excited about this opportunity with the arena football. And it's a shot in the arm for the arena, which had been struggling for many years. But the arena enterprise is actually doing probably better than it has in a decade. And if a few things break our way, we could be in a situation where we could say it would be performing better than it ever has.
What are you hearing about? What are people talking about that you have heard about the bond on parks?
I'm getting a lot of positive feedback, but as you know, we worked on the Jesse Owens project last month. And it was kind of that situation where we were able to demonstrate what's possible with our parks. We were able to demonstrate what's possible in Tucson if we make the investments and the commitments. And it's an interesting situation. So I haven't had a lot of negative feedback about it. I've heard that I've had some feedback about the road bond. The signals are a little more mixed, but no one's really said, hey, the parks bond isn't worth it. You know, when you really look at it, one of the things that we're underserved in is youth sports, and not because youth sports is not because we didn't figure it out. It's just that way more kids play youth sports now. Everybody's got their kid in something, whether it's softball or baseball or football or basketball, or even, you have running clubs, you have cross country clubs. We're going to have a little resurgence of roller hockey with the Roadrunners' presence in here, and that's a good thing. Kids don't need to be in a room on an Xbox playing video games all day. I've got a 15, a 10-year-old, and then I have a little baby, and all I want them to do is want to be outside and being social and doing other things. And so I think that's why these sports exist. It's not just – or even at other activities like music or drama or any of those other things that the kids did. I used to do, like, all of them, and I thought that made better, more well-rounded kids. And now as I'm noticing, a lot of parents are very specialty oriented, where they'll have their kids in one or two things and that's it. And I say, no, man, go for the smorgasbord, go for the salad bar, let them try everything up until they're, you know, seventh, eighth grade. And then, you know, you can start concentrating on singling something out and everything like that. And I think a lot of parents would agree with me on that one. So you see a lot more kids playing a lot of different sports, and it's just fun. And we just needed to expand what our capacity was. And that's kind of one of the pieces. The other piece of this road, Don, is it helps us with some of the streets, the smart streets and the safe streets, and some of the connectivity in green paths and parks. So I think it's going to be pretty cool.
All right. Paul Cunningham, Ward 2, Democrat, Tucson City Councilman. Appreciate your time. I'll let you get back to your classroom activities. Thank you, Paul. We'll talk to you next month. Thanks.
Bill, thanks for having me on. It's been a pleasure.
Thank you very much.
Hey, this is Ken Flower of Arizona Party Rental. It's that time. U of A tailgating. I mean, this place is sizzling. I gotta have one of those burgers and one of those dogs and, hey, aren't you?
Hey, it's Mark Urban hanging out here with my pal Ollie Farhang.
Woo! Who's under this Arizona Party Rental tent? Ryan.
Ryan Jeffries. And no steak for you.
Oh, yeah, splattered mustard all over your back. Wait a minute. You are?
Ryan Hansen.
Hey, you can join the party, too. Arizona Party Rental, your celebration destination. Online at arizonapartyrental.net.
This is Bill Buckmaster. I love travel and flying from Tucson International Airport. And when you fly Tucson, you're standing up for Tucson. When more people fly Tucson, airlines respond with more flights. And with more flights, more travelers can get here to conduct important business. It's a win for the region, and it's a win for you in time saved and money saved not traveling to an airport 2 hours away. Travel smart and fly Tucson. Check out flytucson.com. Family-owned Jam Culinary Concepts and its family of restaurants has you covered for your special event. Jam caters anytime, anywhere, any size group, and any type of cuisine. Vero Amore, authentic Neapolitan pizza, and Noble Hops. Craft beer and fine fare are synonymous with quality. Call 954-1468 or log on to jamculinaryconcepts.com. If you're searching for that special one-of-a-kind item, may I suggest Adobe House Antiques. It has a vast collection and variety of antiques, lighting, and fine art. In addition to the interior space, a large outdoor location offers an extensive collection of vintage patio furniture, exterior lighting, and ironwork. Come see Penny at 2700 North Campbell, 325-9439, or on the web at adobehouseantiques.com.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
This is Bill Buckmaster. Green Things has been the place for all things green for the Buckmaster household for many years. From 2-inch succulents to 10-foot tall palms and desert trees, Green Things has it all on 13 acres and 33 greenhouses full of plants, pottery, and gardening supplies. Visit Green Things at 3384 East River Road by the Rito Riverwalk and on the web at greenthingsaz.com. Cushman & Wakefield PICOR is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield PICOR offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at PICOR.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's PICOR.com. Call us at 748-7100. Welcome back. It is the midweek edition of the Buckmaster Show. We are so honored to have Dr. Victoria Mazes as one of our two dozen contributors to our program. She contributes on a regular basis. She's the contributor on health. She is the executive director of the University of Arizona Center for Integrative Medicine. Dr. Mazes is a professor of medicine, family medicine, and public health. She is internationally recognized as a leader in integrative medicine, and she is committed to health promotion and pioneering change efforts that will help us solve America's healthcare system problems. She's the editor of the Oxford University textbook, Women's Integrative Health, and the author of Be Fruitful, The Essential Guide to Maximizing Fertility and Giving Birth to a Healthy Child. You can learn more about her on her website, victoriamazesmd.com, or follow her on Twitter at vmazes. We welcome Dr. Mazes to us on the live line. How are you, Dr. Mazes?
I'm doing well, thank you. How are you, Bill?
Doing very well, thank you for asking. And if folks would like to call in with their questions or comments, the number is 790-2040. I want to talk about office space, the office environment. There hasn't been a lot of study on this, but there's an interesting new study that looks at kind of the whole office setting and perhaps creating better physical activity and stress levels for people who work in those environments. And there is a local connection to the University of Arizona Center for Integrative Medicine.
Yes, so our research director, Dr. Esther Sternberg, when she came to the University of Arizona about 6 years ago, created an institute on place, well-being, and performance in collaboration with the College of Architecture. And that has led us to do a number of different studies looking at the impact of place, both indoor spaces and also outdoor spaces, on people's well-being. This report is on research that Dr. Sternberg did in Washington, D.C. at a federal building that is built by the General Services Administration and is part of their Well-Built for Well-Being research program.
What's that building like?
Well, interestingly enough, the federal government had allocated money for a renovation, and this probably isn't going to shock you, Bill, but they ran out of money halfway through.
No kidding.
So they had this natural experiment that allowed Dr. Sternberg to look at what was it like, the health and well-being of the people who were in the newly renovated office space versus people who were in the older space.
And what were some of the conclusions?
Well, you know, new renovated spaces includes these open workstations. And, you know, some people might think, well, that's going to be more stressful. There's noise. You see people moving around. You don't have the privacy that you had if you had your own cubicle or private office. But it turned out that these folks who were monitored continually for 3 days and two nights wearing these kind of wearable devices had less stress if they were in an open workspace. And the reason for that, when they looked into everything, was that they were more physically active.
How so? Why would that be?
Well, it's a great question, because you say, well, why is someone in an open workspace more active? Well, right. It turns out because periodically they need to seek out a private space. They need to go into one of these telephone booths or, you know, go outside or go to a place where they could have a private phone conversation or a private one-on-one conversation. And so working in these open office seating arrangements leads people to get up and move more. And in fact, they were 32% more active than people who had their own private office and 20% more active than people who were working in a cubicle. And that led to lower stress, not just during the day when they were at work, but also at home.
Why? Because, you know, you may feel like you're kind of cocooning yourself in when you've got those walls and those partitions and those cubicles that we've all worked in or seen anyway.
Yeah, you know, it's an interesting thing because I think a lot of people would say having a private office is going to be better for your health and less stressful. The research does not bear that out. The research bears out that we're better being more communal, that we're better sitting in a shared space and then going off to the private space when we need it in particular, but not spending all of our work hours there.
What was this thing about an open bench seating? How did all that work? The workers were like at one big bench?
Well, imagine that you have a conference table and lots of people sitting around that conference table working on their computers. Maybe they have headphones on and they're listening to music. That's an open workspace. We all, I think, know what cubicles look like, and we all know what a private office with a door looks like. But this is really open seating where you're visually able to see other people, but people work quietly unless they have a need for privacy, and then they go off to another place to have those private conversations.
Now, despite these encouraging results, other studies, Dr. Mazes, have shown the downsides of open office spaces. What are some of the downsides?
Well, I'm not sure what study you're referring to. I think this is really an area of very active research where people are trying to sort, you know, what is the healthiest environment. And this study, which is quite unique, 230 people, is probably going to impact policy, actually.
Well, I was referring to, I believe, a study from the University of Sydney that found that of the 42,000 respondents, two-thirds felt more people are dissatisfied by open office work places than by enclosed office layouts.
Bringing that up. So it turns out if you survey people, they often do say something like that. I'd rather have a private office. But when you do these objective measurements using the wearable devices that assess people's heart rate variability and it assesses other measures of their stress and their sleep integrity, they're wrong.
Uh-huh.
That they actually have lower objective measures of stress when they're in these open work environments.
Well, this really brings up something very interesting, and many large employers, and I'm not going to name one in particular here in town, but they are encouraging their employers to perhaps work at home. And this now brings up an interesting trend about the whole thing about telecommuting, how that's going to affect people and their environment.
Well, I think that's a really fascinating question that now deserves to be researched as well. We know that people often like that they can skip the commute, especially if they have a long, challenging commute. And we know that people like the flexibility of being able to throw in a load of laundry or make lunch in their own kitchen or, you know, whatever that might look like. But there certainly could be some downsides, too. We sometimes think of home as our haven, and when we bring our work into it, it can bleed into the rest of our day and maybe our evening and night. So I think that it's definitely worth studying it.
And I think that one thing that's very important that is often forgot about when you're working at home, you miss the interaction of your colleagues. Wouldn't you agree?
I would agree. So a lot of people really enjoy having a community at work and people who they spend time with socially at work in the social part of the work environment, sometimes beyond the work environment, who they have conversation with. And yes, working from home can alter all of that and can perhaps be a much more lonely work environment.
Well, I think it's fascinating that Dr. Esther Sternberg is doing all this research on place. And it's not just place in the office. She's talking about, it's an interesting area. She's talking about how place really affects our lives. Isn't that safe to say?
Yes. So we just talked about a study that's on the indoor work environment. But for example, she's also involved in a study where for wounded warriors, an outdoor beautiful green walking trail was built so that people have a place to walk and contemplate and sit on lovely benches and look out at the view. And she's now measuring the impact of that on health. We don't have the results from that yet, but that study is in progress.
Well, why don't we talk after the break about maybe being outdoors and how that really does affect your health. Dr. Mazes, please stick around. We'll come back to you in a couple of minutes. Dr. Victoria Mazes with us on the Buckmaster Show Live Line. If you would like to join in the conversation, perhaps you have something to add about a work environment or perhaps being outdoors. Do you enjoy that? Do you find it energizing? Call us up at 790-2040, but right now we'll be right back. Noble Hops is Tucson's original gastro pub, serving an impressive menu of craft beer and fine fare. Choose from more than 175 beers from around the world, plus wine and a full bar. Enjoy delicious soups, salads, burgers, sandwiches, hearty entrees, and more. Craft beer, fine fare, great service, and stunning views. Noble Hops, perfect for lunch, dinner, happy hour, late night, and any time in between. Open daily at La Cañada and Lambert Lane in Oro Valley. The Regional Transportation Authority funds projects to help make our transportation system safe, reliable, and efficient. Improved regional mobility is important for economic vitality for businesses and families. The RTA continues to finance construction work for 6 new roadway projects scheduled in 2018. For more information on RTA projects, visit rtamobility.com. The RTA is delivering its promise to you.
Did you know that you can check out complete digital editions of popular magazines with your Pima County Public Library card? From Arizona Highways to Yoga Journal and everything in between, the library is your source for entertainment. Visit library.pima.gov and browse the e-library to start checking out your favorite magazines today. That's library.pima.gov.
Southern Arizona is home to one of the world's most trusted sources of information on medicines. The Credible Meds website is visited each day by over 2,000 people from more than 60 countries. You too can learn how to personalize your medications and take control of your health care. Visit CredibleMeds.org today and join Bill Buckmaster each month as he and Dr. Ray Woosley, founder of Credible Meds, give you practical tips on how to get the most from your medications.
Hey, it's Matt Russell from The Buckmaster Show.
And this is Ryan Hansen from Bon Voyage Travel.
I am so pumped to be partnering with Bon Voyage on my next culinary and cocktail cruise.
This is definitely a cruise for foodies as you experience the Mediterranean on Celebrity Cruises.
And the private excursions that your team has arranged for us? I mean, come on, an ouzo distillery tour in Greece? A food and wine day on Malta?
We'll handle everything, so all you and your guests need to do is eat, drink, and be happy.
Go to bvtravel.com/Matt Russell to learn more.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
Family-owned Jam Culinary Concepts and its family of restaurants has you covered for your special event. Jam caters anytime, anywhere, any size group, and any type of cuisine. Vero Amore, authentic Neapolitan pizza, and Noble Hops. Craft beer and fine fare are synonymous with quality. Call 954-1468 or log on to jamculinaryconcepts.com. Welcome back to the Buckmaster Show. This would be a great weekend to get away over to Silver City and Grant County, New Mexico, which is only a three-hour drive from Tucson. You know, the forest over there, the Gila National Wilderness, really was one of the, I believe, the first national wilderness in the United States. It's a beautiful area, very much greened up after all of the summer rains, and with that elevation of anywhere to between 5 and 7,000 feet. It really makes a revitalizing kind of weekend for you. Visit southwestnewmexico.org for a complete listing of the many places to stay, great places in the area, and lots of recreational opportunities, a great area to go camping and hiking and just exploring historic Silver City in Grant County, New Mexico. I don't know about you, but getting out into the outdoors always makes me feel better. And on our live line is Dr. Victoria Mazes, who is the executive director of the University of Arizona Center for Integrative Medicine. And, you know, it does, I don't know what it is about getting into the outdoors, just maybe taking a walk in like the Gila National Forest over there in Silver City or going up to Mount Lemmon. I do feel more energized, Dr. Mazes, about being in the outdoors.
Yes, so it's really a wonderful phenomenon, isn't it? Because sometimes people think, oh, you know, if I'm going to take that walk, if I'm going to exercise, I'm going to use up energy, and I'm tired or I'm depleted. But usually the reverse happens. Usually when you get out into nature and you get out into a beautiful setting, you actually have more energy and you feel better. And the evidence for spending time in nature is just getting stronger and stronger. And it includes not just the benefits of physical activity on our hearts, on cancer prevention, diabetes prevention, but also on our mood, on our overall sense of well-being, on our sense of self-esteem. I mean, the benefits just are enormous.
Well, you can kind of think of it as taking a bath in nature or something called taking a forest bath.
Yes, so there's this beautiful concept that comes from Japan that's called forest bathing. The Japanese is Shinrin Yoku. And it was developed in Japan during the 1980s, and it's really become a part of their public health and preventive health strategy. Essentially, people are recommended to go and take quiet walks in nature. So this is not marathons. This is not speed walking. This is really strolling and paying attention to what you notice. Then in Japan, it could be the leaves of the trees turning color. In Tucson, it could be the cactus in bloom. But to really pay attention to what you see in that natural setting. And for example, when they studied it, they have found that cortisol levels drop. That's our stress hormone. So there's a 16% reduction in cortisol. That our blood pressure drops a little bit. That's good because we know lower blood pressure in general is better. It is usual that when you exercise, your blood pressure goes up a little bit. So this 2% drop is also meaningful. And also the heart rate drops a little. So all of these are signs that the stress level of the folks doing this goes down and the parasympathetic nervous system, the quieting side of our nervous system, is activated.
Well, we have known for centuries, really, that being in nature is something that does make us feel better. But I think what's fascinating, Dr. Mazes, is we're now investigating the science behind that feeling.
Yes, we are. As I said, it's being studied very broadly. There was an interesting study that showed that spending time in nature increases our creativity. This was a professor with students, and they either walked inside an indoor environment or in an outdoor environment, and then they tested to see how many creative problem-solving ideas people were able to come up with. And being outdoors lights up different parts of the brain and enhances our creativity. We know, for example, some of the things that are being developed enhance community engagement. You just mentioned in the first segment about if you work at home and you telecommute, you may not have much community. But one of the things people often do in community is they get together with others and they go for walks.
Mm-hmm. You know, I was just reflecting on something. I was up in Alaska, and I think you were also up in Alaska this past summer. And we drove for hours and had these wonderful glimpses of the highest peak in North America, Denali, previously known as Mount McKinley. And I reflect back on that often, and I sometimes think that the trips and the travels we do, it's the times we're out in nature that seem to, those images come back to me more than perhaps the times we visit big cities. Any thoughts on that?
Well, it's an interesting question, and whether that's unique, you know, to the individuals who seek out Alaska and national parks, or whether that's a general truth, I don't know. You know, I think people sometimes go to a big city and are inspired by what they experience in a museum or in the theater, but certainly being in these places of great natural beauty has that effect.
You know, it's amazing how many the projections about how many of us will be living in cities, and it's 66% is the projected figure. About 2/3 of the world's population by 2015 or 2050 will be living in cities, and we already spend so much of our time, the vast majority of our time, indoors, don't we?
Yeah, so, I mean, we evolved with views of nature. We didn't evolve with views of high-rise buildings. Having said that, responsible cities do create places that are beautiful parks. We're fortunate in Tucson. We are surrounded by magnificent mountains and lots of hiking. There is a program that is being co-sponsored by the CDC, the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, and it's called Park Prescriptions. And it uses GIS technology to link people to a park that's within walking distance of their home or of their work, because, of course, not everyone has a vehicle, not everyone can get to that national park with great ease, and yet often there is a park within walking distance that people can get to and experience much of the benefits we've been talking about.
Well, you know, this science of investigating nature, maybe while we were in Alaska, maybe I should have just done some tree hugging. apparently there's some benefits to just giving the tree a big hug.
Well, the studies that I looked at weren't talking actually about hugging the tree. They were talking about being in close proximity, walking, gazing at the trees. But, you know, who knows? Maybe there's something in there to the hug as well.
How do you do forest bathing? Is there a particular way to go about that that can enhance your experience?
Yes, so not surprisingly, there's, of course, a website that can guide people to the particularities of what's advised. There are books that have been written, but I think that the important things to recognize is that rather than going for your power walk, you are there to walk slowly, to breathe, to pay attention, to really open your senses. So it's what you're seeing, but there may be, you know, a wonderful aroma in the air from, you know, for example, in Tucson, after it rains, we have that wonderful smell that comes off of the chaparral. In a pine forest, the smell is going to be different. You might feel the softness of the earth if you're walking on pine needles, probably less so on our packed desert earth, but you're really paying attention to the fullness of the experience as opposed to I'm here to get my 10 minutes of power walk in as fast as possible.
How about aromatherapy? Have you ever investigated that?
Well, I haven't personally, but I can tell you that it is something that we recommend in integrative medicine, and there is good evidence for aromatherapy and for the use of essential oils. In fact, you know, we've been talking about forest bathing and spending time in nature, with one of the benefits being to reduce stress and anxiety. There's actually hundreds of studies showing that using the essential oil lavender can also reduce anxiety in people. And people can put a couple drops in their bathtub, or they can put a drop on their pillow, and these are wonderful, very natural, non-invasive things that can help with stress.
We've been talking with Dr. Victoria Mazes. She's the executive director of the University of Arizona-based Center for Integrative Medicine. What's the latest now with integrative medicine at the center, Dr. Mazes?
Well, the center continues to grow and to expand. We have just a really wide variety of educational programs for health professionals, growing numbers of programs for the public. We're excited about our upcoming Integrative Mental Health Conference, which will be in San Francisco, April 15th through 17th.
We don't talk a lot about the integrative mental health approach. Could you kind of give us the bottom line to that, please?
Well, sure. So it's aligned with the conversation we've been having, that there's a whole wide range of things that we might do to enhance our mental well-being, our sense of flourishing, our happiness, that have nothing to do with medications, for example, but have to do with the way in which we live our lives. So whether that's exercising in nature, whether that's eating a Mediterranean diet, there are some specific dietary supplements, vitamins, herbs that can be helpful. There are some lifestyle practices that can be helpful in terms of movement. And all of these things become part of a larger paradigm that we call integrative mental health.
All right. Dr. Victoria Mays, is always a pleasure. We'll look forward to our next visit. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Bill.
Thanks a lot. Dr. Victoria Mays, she is the editor of the Oxford University textbook, Women's Integrative Health. She's also the author of Be Fruitful, The Essential Guide to Maximizing Fertility and Giving Birth to a Healthy Child. You can learn more about her on her website, Victoria Mays's. Her last name is spelled M-A-I-Z-E-S, MD.com, or follow her on Twitter at VMazes. That's going to do it today for the Buckmaster Show. We're going to talk TUSD education tomorrow. Dr. Gabriel Trujillo is superintendent of TUSD. We try to get him here on the program at least every other month, and tomorrow's that day. So we'll be looking forward to that. All right, on behalf of Mr. Ray Allen, Ray, thanks a lot. Did a great job as usual. I'm Bill Buckmaster. We'll talk with you again tomorrow here on the radio at 12:04. Have a great afternoon.